Turn with me to the Gospel of John. We want to look at...
Could you just read the word, please?
And the Word was God. The Word was God. If you'll notice, actually, and it says the Word was God. There are no new words in that. We've discovered those, all those words before. And in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. So all the words are there, but there's a different order. And it is the Word was God. So we're not discovering new words and new realities behind new words. We're discovering these words as you link them together, and the Word was God. All right, we were talking last class about the Scriptures and the Word of God. And so let me read over. It's only the Spirit that can reveal the eternal Word in the letter. Okay, this is called the letter, okay? And there is the letter and the Spirit, okay? And you can just read this and, you know, and not see the Spirit behind it. And you can condemn everybody and condemn yourself, or you can see the Spirit behind it and become one with Christ, because he that is joined to the Lord is one Spirit. Alright, so that's why we say it's the Spirit that reveals the eternal Word in the letter. The revelation of Christ comes only in the Scriptures. Now, it doesn't come only when in the Scriptures. But let me tell you something. The Word is the Word of God that has gotten in you that reveals Christ. It is the Scripture because it is, he is the Word of God. I mean, you can't see Jesus without the Word. If you go to the Scripture and say anything but Christ, then you have handled the Word of God deceitfully. How can you be in the Word and not see Christ who literally is the Word? He's the Word. The Word was God. The Word was God. He is the Word. The Word was God. Went to the Scripture. Didn't see the Word. Saw something else. Got some comfort. Used the Word of God deceitfully. You know? How can you go to the Word and not see the Word? Okay?
That's
a good question. Now, let me take the next step. And that is, you don't automatically see the Word by reading the Scriptures, so it's okay to go to the Scriptures and just read the Scriptures, and even if you don't see the Word. But if your motivation is not to see Jesus, I believe you're wrong. That's where John 5:39, Jesus says, you search the Scriptures, talking to the Pharisees. You search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. But there they would testify me. You're missing me because your motive is there to go and get comfort or be smarter than somebody else or answer somebody's, you know, deal. Let me tell you, if witnessing and sharing the Lord with people on the streets is a matter of figuring out everybody's question and then coming up with an answer, then we don't really need Jesus. We just need good, solid education and those things. But I'll tell you, the thing that disarms or that just will take the sting out of the enemy is when the answer is Christ. Now, I cannot tell you what I'm talking about when I say that, other than I can tell you, you know, I see them bringing this, the Scripture says that this woman, we caught her in adultery, the Scripture says she needs to be stoned. And Jesus says, here's the Word on it. Neither are without sin, cast the first stone. Boom. They all walked out. That's what I mean. I can't tell you, but I can tell you when the Word comes forth, it's either powerful or disarming or all the things that it is. A multiplicity of ways that it can affect you, but it is powerful. So, know the Scriptures. Let your motive be, I'm knowing the Scripture that I might know the Word.
Well, people are so used to getting Scriptures, people and the Word is either opportunity or life, but it's so different because people who witness who come from good versus evil, you know, sinners are backwards. You can't laugh. That's their territory, you know. good evil. But when the word comes in, life and love and something from a different life, it just is totally other.
Right.
And,
oh, yeah.
Like that one answer you were expecting. You know, like I'm sure as one kid in Texas, and he just was hiding very hard. He just, Jesus is stupid. I hate going to church, on. And I said, well, even if you don't love Jesus, he still loves you. And just, you know, that's so simple to say. He actually said it on paper. Somehow the Lord came to it, just really affected me. And he could see it very little. Because it wasn't getting back to Jesus is good, and church is stupid. It was just the ministry of the Lord. And he just said, okay. And that's totally the need of duty. It's really cool to see that word. Once we felt it coming off, everything is called Christ.
I mentioned this Sunday night, mostly what you do is coming back. Kind of time ago, but I mentioned this. Talking to this Baptist kid, you know, or he was talking to this kid, and he says, I tried that. He said, no, I don't think I'm interested, you know, and I said, what do you mean you tried it? He said, I tried it. And I said, you before you go to Baptist or whatever? And he said, yeah. And I said, okay. You know, Baptist Church is based on John the Baptist. You know, that's the Baptist, the Baptist, the Baptist, the Baptist, all that goes back to John the Baptist, you know. And they were right, you know, because they tell you all this stuff. You know, John came and he said, repent, you know, repent. And so you hear all these Christians come up to you and go, accept Jesus, repent. You know, you've heard that a million times, and that's what you're used to. And, you know, but I said, I got good news for you. John had another part of his message, and that was, there's one coming after me that is preferred before me, and this one is everything. I'm not even worthy, nor is the Baptist movement or anybody else under this thing. Worth this guy is it. And what the Baptist failed to tell you is the full message. You only got half the message, and I want to tell you about the other half. It's life, and we're one with Jesus, and he's trying to form a body, which is the new man, and doesn't just throw out stuff, you know what I mean? Which is not what we hear from that church. And he expected to hear the message of John the Baptist because that's what he heard. Repent, shape up, da-da-da-da. And I said, oh, you didn't even get the full, you know, you claim you were a follower of John, but you didn't get the full message of John. He has something that's totally other coming after him. Because he just sat as a little kid at that church. And I said, you know, a lot more. He didn't fall on his knees and accept Jesus right there, but he heard that there was something other than what he thought was Jesus. I said, that wasn't Jesus. That was John, the ministry of John the Baptist that you're pretty much familiar with. But I said, John really, his best part of his message is that there's something totally other than all of this. He said, I'm not even in. I got a decrease. He said, so being joined with him wasn't it. Being joined with Jesus is where it's at. The Lord knows how to start working on it, getting through. I wasn't expecting that kind of an answer. Alright, so let's see. To see the Word is to understand what is preferred before us. We must search the Scriptures for the Word, the total thought and concept of God. We must search the Scriptures for the total thought and concept of God. Logos, the Word. The word Logos means the total thought and concept of God. We must see the Word. Jesus is the Word. He is the total thought and concept of God. The total concept is with God as a plan. And the total concept of God was God, because it's Christ. In the beginning was the Word, was with God. The Word was God. The ability to quote Scriptures means very little. The Pharisees searched the Scriptures but never saw in them the total thought and concept of God. You can quote scriptures, but you cannot quote the word for this person. You can quote what the word said, but you can't quote the word. The scriptures are not a person, but only a vehicle used to reveal the person. We do not grow spiritually by learning scripture, but by learning Christ's life. That's a taboo, but that's the truth. Because the scriptures are not spirit until they become Christ. Jesus said, my words I speak unto you are spirit and life. You're not really growing spiritually. You may be gaining a ground from which the Spirit of God can reveal Christ in your spirit, whereby spirit you will leave. You are changing. But just learning scriptures, you're not growing spiritually. But you are laying the best foundation that you possibly can to be able to grow spiritually. But don't misinterpret the two, because the Pharisees knew the scriptures back and forward. They weren't his scriptures. So the Bible becomes the Word of God when we see Jesus there. Right? If we have a question about how to live for God or do something, we don't just turn and see what the Bible has to say about it. If we have a question about how to live for God or how to do something, we don't just see what the Bible has to say about it. Let's go to the Koran. Let's go to the Bible. It's got good, solid wisdom on how to approach life. No. Jesus said, you search the scriptures, but they testify me. You're kind of missing the point, boys. Since the Word was God, that's good. That says what I want to say. Since the Word was God, then only the living Word can fulfill the written Word. Since the Word was God, the Word was God. Was with God, the Word was God. Since the Word was God, only the living Word can fulfill the written Word. This is why you have such a hard time fulfilling what the words, the Scripture says. Because only the living Word can fulfill the written. That's why we need Christ. That's why it all begins with Jesus said, forget this, you must be born. You've got to receive the new seed. Being born again, incorruptible seed by the Word of God, which liveth. That's the first one. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God which liveth. The living Word can fulfill the written Word. You cannot, but you can try. And when you fail, then go back and cry out for Jesus. Oh, but I got Jesus. Jesus, help me, help me, help me. See what praying for. He said, okay, I'll help you, but there's only so much help he can give you because you can't come. Care how much help it gives you, you're not able. So quit praying, help me, say, God, kill me. Actually, let me see the cross. I'm dead, you know what I mean? I want to know that I'm dead. Let me see that I'm dead so that Christ, your Son, Father, can live in me. God, help me. As long as you're praying, help me. You know. Now, if it's help me, help get the devil off my back long enough where I get the word. You know what I mean? I mean, there's a place for that, but I mean, don't misunderstand that. I'm taking it too far, but on the other hand, don't think it's you and God. The work of God is to make you better. The work of God is to conform His Son, or to conform to His Son. Sure.
Yeah. In prayers like that, it's almost kind of like you make a division between your Christ and you separate yourself.
Absolutely.
Because it's not God helping you. Because if you're one with Christ, it's not God helping you. You're being one with Christ. And as I started to see the difference between identity and being in Christ, and now you're saying all these other things, it's kind of like being sort of back into understanding what this is thinking here. It's a real funny way of looking at it.
But you know what's cool about that is a sign that your mind is being renewed. When I begin to say after this, I expect pretty soon to begin to drink and think in Spanish, and then go, I think I'm getting it. This is another realm, it's another mind, it's another way of thinking. And most of us still have that old mentality. It is so easy for us to separate ourselves from Christ and to, you know, I need you, Jesus, instead of He's your life, you're dead. You know, I probably couldn't find it, but there was a great sentence we read a couple of days ago when we had a class about his, you know, why seek direction from him about our life? He is our life. And why go to the Word for direction for me? He is the Word. He is the direction. But there's no way to explain that. I mean, you can preach it, you can say it, you can change the terminology, you can do all kinds of stuff. You bring in more people to teach, you can do whatever you want to do. But until the Spirit of God, and we see, even when I say that, see, because the Bible says when the heart turns to the Lord, and you know, there's a veil, but when the heart turns to the Lord, but see, our mind turns to the Lord. And our emotions sometimes, when we get really down, our emotions turn to the Lord. But when the heart says, when it becomes our heart's part of our spirit, not our mind's part of our soul, when our heart gets this determination that I, you know, the heart, even the terminology heart, is the very center of what you are. When the center of what you are says, I turn to you, then. Then you go to the scriptures and you see Jesus and you're changed into that same image because that's what you identify.
Yeah, well, you know, kind of like what you were talking earlier about when Paul was saying they so surprised that they were so soon removed from Christ. I always read that as still being separate from Christ, and the way that they removed themselves from Christ is they removed themselves from being Christians or doing the Christian thing as it were.
Yeah.
But what he's saying is that he was so surprised that he saw the bricks from the wall as being the wall, and they actually moved himself from the wall to no longer the wall. And it's identity. They removed themselves from realizing that they were in Christ, going to another form of what they considered was the gospel.
There are so many little parts to this that's important. One is, and I, there's some book that I wrote on, I'm going to put it out. There's a topic in one of the chapters, it's called The Greatness of Christ and Transcendence. I believe there needs to be this understanding of vastness. He now omega. I mean, the full. I mean, it just pales this distance. Okay, but you can still remain separate. See, so there has to be a revelation of the greatness of Christ. Then there has to be a revelation of the oneness of Christ. That. In all, because you know, like John said, I mean, the words, none will come, and he is preferred before me. He is greater than all. I'm not even worthy, and that's good. That puts you in a position that you are ready to be identified in him. You've been brought. Then he is so great, and see, it's there's so much to this because part of the bringing down is that. Circumstances have been one that you see your wretchedness through the fact that when I do good, I don't promise. That's part of it. But another part of it begins to be that you see, maybe I'm just talking my experience, but I began to see that this was his beloved son. I'm talking about Jesus, and in whom he was well pleased. In him. You know? And that the Son was preferred before me, and that the Son was all to the Father. And then I see my wretchedness through when I would do good, I don't, and when I want to, all my old things. Plus this contrast. See, there's two contrasts. There's one that circumstantially just showed me I can't do it, I'm a failure. Secondly, is the contrast of the heart of the Father toward His Son and the greatness of Christ in this whole thing. It brings you to this place where you just go, you know, then you're presented with this way out, because I mean, it's pretty dark. You really realize how nothing you are this way, then seeing the old man, you know, the scriptures talk about the vastness of the depth of the possibilities through that, and seeing how great Christ is, you can just, you know what I mean? But then, the door of faith, Galatians chapter 3, the door of faith is presented. You're in Him, you're accepting in Him all that He is, you are, and, you know, this is your one. And you go, yes! You know, when you grab it in, you do not ever want to let go. So, but, you know, I've always hesitated to get into too much detail sharing those things. Because we'll go scurrying around trying to figure it out. I think a heart towards God, well, I think a heart towards God will stumble across the right path in the sense that God will lead you to realize the vastness of Christ, oh wretched man that I am, seeing in Adam and the fullness of the wretchedness of that, and all that, whether I did it or not, I'm one with that, and I'm capable of it. Oh, God, help me. You know what I mean? And then He opens your eyes, and, you know, but if you spell it out too much, that's why I don't think it's spelled out this way. Because if it's spelled out too much, we're going to think we're going to go search out God. Now, it doesn't say we shouldn't search for God, but you can't search out God. He's unsearchable. You can search, if He chooses that, and if He opens your eyes, then you'll see.
No, that verse is critical. If you receive something, why do you act like you haven't received it? That's it. Exactly the way it goes, but that's true because in all of my trying to see the Lord, what little I've seen didn't come from all of my trying to see the Lord.
Right.
It's something that I see can't act as if you haven't seen. And it's something that you see yourself.
Right. And then there's that whole side, the only stability God to make that full bridge is the grace of God. Just to believe that you have to. If you're really in that place, there is no choice. I mean, it's either the grace of God or nothing. You're shot down the tubes. You know, flush. You know. You know that you're as dumb, you're like crap. You are in flush. But you believe because there's against hope you believe in hope. I mean, you know, I just have this sense from God the Father that is so beautiful in Him, and yet we're at our worst in that moment. It's so funny because when we're at our best, it is like slimy, you know, that leprosy just sliming everything up when we're at our best. When we're at our worst, but we're holding on to the grace of God, He says, that's beautiful. I just think it is so cool because you ain't going to figure this one out. You're just going to have to walk and know the Lord and keep on going. Okay, so where we got to this point was we were saying that only the living word can fulfill the written word. If we do separate ourselves from Jesus, we go try to get into the word and get right instead of getting into the word and know Jesus. So it takes Jesus to fulfill the scriptures. It takes Jesus. So don't separate yourself from Jesus. Until Jesus comes forth, the scriptures are not fulfilled. You might have kept some, but you haven't fulfilled. You might have kept a lot, but if you break the one, break it all. You know, I really don't think too many Christians really realize that. I really don't. If you break one, you broke them all. Not if you break one, then that breaks the link. It's like it breaks every link.
you've broken the law. I know you don't understand that, but it's the difference between keeping and fulfilling. If you kept all these and you broke that one, then you just broke that one because you didn't keep it. But if you, if this thing is a fulfilling and you kept all this and you broke this one, this is proof that you're not any of this. And so you're not the fulfilling. Christ is the fulfilling.
Is that because the Spirit of Christ that you broke the one, you broke them all, because if you don't have the Spirit there, then you don't have the care.
And that's proof that you
Yeah. So now you broke one.
So you did real good over here, but it don't count.
Right, because those two Spirit of Christ are
Yeah, Lord's also showing me that even if it were possible for somebody to finally stand before God having fulfilled everything in the law,
or kept
everything that was in the law, they could not compare themselves to Jesus to be equal.
Right.
Because there would be no comparison, because that's how God makes it, not comparison, but that's how God, that's his righteousness. That's what he wants.
Christ is what he always wanted.
And
he's a complete thought and concept.
And
being perfect apart from Christ is perfect.
And the other thing the Lord showed me is that even if they were to keep all the letter of the law, then they would be fulfilling the promises of the devil, which is God.
Well, I don't want to be like the devil, so I'm going to search the scriptures for Christ. Good stuff. Good stuff. We're throwing a lot of stuff out here, and I realize, I hope you're not sitting there hoping that you understand everything that's being said, and then realizing that you probably don't, therefore you must not be God. Okay, well, you're not. The Word is with God, and you're in Christ, so you're with God. Keep being separate. No, I ain't getting this, so you're in Christ, you're one with him, you're his son. Just keep on going. Just because your mind doesn't comprehend doesn't mean the truth isn't the truth. It doesn't mean your spirit isn't what it's supposed to be. The scriptures were incomplete until Christ filled them fully. The scriptures are incomplete. And this is where you get Romans, where it says the law was weak through the flesh, but Jesus came and fulfilled it. The scriptures are not, the law is good and just, and we're carnal, but the law made it good and just and all that it says, but it is not complete without Christ. Christ is the fulfillment of the scriptures. He doesn't even come and fulfill the scriptures. He is the fulfillment. We just don't understand. Jesus doesn't just come and fulfill the scriptures. The scriptures are the big standard, and I must meet them. Once I meet them, I'll be the big standard. No. He is the fulfillment of what they were even written for. The example I always give is that, Deb's got Cassie in her bedroom on her wall. We've got all these pictures of all these young guys, the most handsome, all these popular young guys, Brad Pitt and everybody else up there. So she was telling me the other day, she said Deb was in there, and they were talking, and she said, what do you think? Mom, what do you think? A good looking guy. What do you like? So she says, well, I'll tell you what I like. I like light blue eyes. I like kind of silvery brown hair. I like a mustache. And I like kind of a thinner frame. And she went on and on and on. And said, you're talking about Dad. And she said, because you can mark somebody up there with silver hair, blue eyes, thinner frame, da da da. And she looked at her, sorry, that ain't it. What do you mean? But you're still not in. I fulfilled. No. You kept some of the things, but you're not the fulfillment. And now walk in the room, she goes, there's the fulfillment. Do you understand? That's what the scriptures are. written down blue eyes, fair frame. They're just a written description of the way Jesus is. And so we go try to act like Jesus by reading that and trying to be that. And Jesus walks in and says, I'm it. I'm the fulfillment of the scriptures. I'm the fulfillment of everything. And we go, well, good. Get over here and help me fulfill it. He goes, you can't fulfill. I'm the fulfillment. You hear what I said? I'm the fulfillment. Well, good. Help me keep it. If you kept it, you would still be unacceptable. I thought the law was everything. No. The law was just written in there. You know where the law came from? Moses went up into the mountain, spent time with God, and he's talking with God, and he's fellowshipping with God. He comes down, and his face is glowing because he's been in the presence of God. He's talked face to face with God. He comes down to talk to the people. They see his face glowing. It scares them up. Put a veil over your face. And whatever God tells us to do, we'll do it. Okay, here's the law. But it was just Christ written down. Here's the way he is. He loves, he goes near, smile, he blesses those who curse him. This is the way Jesus is. Everything that you want me, everything that I want you to do, you'll do it. Jesus wrote down the scriptures, handed it to Moses. Moses came down and said, okay, here it is. But the law was not the thing that Jesus came and said, okay, I've got to measure up here somehow. He was the fulfillment, and he never looked at the law. He just walked around, and blew eyes and everything, and all this was there. Everything, because he was there. That's the way he was. You know. You never really see Jesus running around, you know, going, oh, I better, you know, now, you know, he says to fulfill all righteousness, I better, you know, do this, let it be so for now. But that's talking about as Son of Man, he came down to do those things. As a man, he walked as a man. But as Son of God, he was to fulfill them by his nature. You're going to talk about acts of nature. His nature was and is. Is to come and ever will be. He is Alpha and Omega. The only difference between the beginning and the end is we got in him. He got in us. You say, well, we did a real good work for you, too. No, you didn't. You yielded to him. His life came forth. His life brings forth fruit. And some stuff happened. You're going to pat yourself on the back for that, and you don't understand who did it. In fact, there won't be any rewards for that because you see what I'm saying? I mean, it's either Christ or it's not Christ. If it's not Christ, I don't care how sincere you are. You say, that guy's a murderer. That's not Christ. Well, you're not Christ either. Just both as far as can be. Well, I'll be better. Well, good. Now you're a good at it. Before you were a bad at it. Still in Jesus. God wants his son. And God is making sons by Christ. And you are the son of God when you receive Christ. So we say, John said this, John, what is it? First John chapter 3, he says, we love it. Now are you the sons of God? Okay, so his first word of the month, we love it. What are you talking about? Now are you the sons of God? It does not yet appear. It does not yet appear. You are a son of God because you received the seed. He's the fulfillment. Is he fulfilling it all through you at this point? No. Can he eventually? Sure. Because he is the fulfillment. But it doesn't yet appear. More and more it's appearing, but it does not yet appear when he shall be. But I'll tell you how you'll know. When he appears, you'll be like him. Didn't say when he appears, you better be like him. You better act like it. I look busy because Jesus is coming or something. He is you because you're one with him. He is your fulfillment. He is my wisdom. He is my righteousness. He is love. He is my peace. He is my hope. The scriptures say he is all these things to us. To us. That's why it says he is these things. If we're going, oh, I don't feel any peace. My emotions, I'm upset. Oh, God, give me peace. I need some peace. My devil's just riding, man. He just walls up to get panic. My kids throws a side on your back. Goes, And he says, I'm your peace. Well, I don't feel it. Because that's your most wrong realm. Come on. You don't be here with me. I am in it. Where's God? Totally off. We're in our little world, in our little realm, in our little life, and we're trying to get him. We're trying to take the that's like being under the table and grabbing for the crumbs and stuff, and then reaching up and grabbing God and pulling his face down into the slot that's falling down there with us and pounding, look at this, and shoving his face into all the garbage that we're into down there. He's the one. I don't care what's under the table. You're down here with the dogs, but they haven't sit over there in the corner. They're all down here, and they're licking and throwing up and chucking. You're down here rolling in it. Get up here with me. We're trying to grab him and shove his face in. You apparently don't see this. Get out here. Get his face into the middle of it. Look at him. How does this work? You want to understand the ins and outs of vomit? Dog vomit? Is that what you would like? A good explanation of dog vomit? This isn't up here on top of the table where me and my son is here. We don't really deal a lot with it. We get up on the table, tell the servants to clean out in front of the table, go feed the dogs, take them out, clear away the table. But I'm your Father, I'm your Lord, I love you, I'll get down here in the slop. I'll never leave your possession. So he does. So we assume that's the way that's Christianity. And so we get a testimony. Well, one time I was in the slop, I pulled God's face right smack into it. God is ready to come here. And everybody, well, man, that's the way I like to live. Pulling God into all my slop. Having him get out. And then it just spreads and spreads and spreads. And then the testimony of God is lost for the testimony of what God did for you, because it's the furthest end of his compassion apart from the work of his Son. But he is compassionate. He had to get down there with him. But he would rather somebody say, man, I've sat at the table with my Son. I've partaken. I've shared face to face in that glow like Moses had to be there. And everybody like, whoa! Put a veil over there and just tell us what you want. We'll do it. But rather than go, man, you were with the Lord. We could approach God like that. You talked face to face. You were the friend of God. And run up the hill. Oh, I'd like to pray. He said, we're made in image, even though we're fallen. So good. We're made in image. He really is really rather like us. He really is. He's, you take the best picture of a loving father, and if you being evil might give good gifts on you, how much more this guy called the Father is just unbelievably beautiful and wonderful. We're not looking at his face, we're looking at his hands. Get those hands down. Remember, I wrote a book called Knowing God, seeking God for his hands or his face. We're not seeking to see his face. But what's in his face? The light of the knowledge of the glory of God. But we want his hands. Well, get your hands down. Reach your hands down here into my little world, my life, my situation. And he says, I've raised you up. We say, come down, Lord Jesus, come back for us, rapture. Come down to get us up. He said, I already raised you up. You're one with me, seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I'm the one that's in you down there. You're in me. Your life is here. When I appear, that's you. Then shall you appear. That's what it says. This is like a mirror. That's what the New Testament says. This is like a mirror. But you know what? You don't really see your face. You see Jesus. But it's like a mirror. It says that. See? Which is contrary to a mirror. But it's like a mirror. And you look and you see Jesus, and it says as you look into the glass, it's called, the looking glass, the mirror, as you look, you are changed from glory to glory, as you look and you see Jesus, and you go, I see Jesus here, not me. I'm in Jesus. I'm one with Jesus. That's me. You don't go, oh, he's too late. He's going too right. I can't take it off. What about you? I hate to hear preachers preach like this. Put a veil over it, brother. Put a sock in it. Yes, dude. I hate to hear this now because it makes me feel bad about where I'm at. My God, where are you? You are in the most glorious place you can be. God puts you in the most. I was thinking about that a while ago when I was last class when I was teaching. I said, you know, people go into the sanctuary and the scripture talks about being in the sanctuary. You know what the sanctuary is? Sanctuary in Christ. The sanctuary, it is a place. The name of the Lord is like a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are saved. To be in Him is sanctuary. It is to go in Him and identify. I am accepted in Him. Oh, there's rest. There's sanctuary. There's peace in here. In Him. You get out of here apart from Him, not in Him, not identified with Him, just being for Him. There's no sanctuary. You can go in any building. You might feel some peace because I believe in our sanctuary over there, people would walk in felt peace in their emotions and feel a peace from God. But that's not the peace God wants you to have. Christ is your peace, and when you get in Him, there is sanctuary. And until you have been assailed in the night, running through the streets with the darkness all around and the hounds chasing and nipping at your feet, you not ever going to appreciate sanctuary. I mean, I don't know that has to be that bad, but in one sense it does, because that's the old nature, that's the enemy, that's the way what it truly should be seen apart from Christ. But until that, you're never going to walk in Christ, fall down and go, yes, 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 yes. I will never retreat out of here. You know, they had cities of refuge. That was also a picture of Christ. Where if you had killed somebody or done something wrong, God set up all over Israel cities of refuge. This is in the Old Testament. And you could run to those cities of refuge, and once you got in there, they couldn't come kill you. You were safe. And you could find peace, and you didn't have to look over your shoulder every time you went to another house, but you had to stay in that city. And there was a couple of people who got out, and they got killed. But you got to stay, you got to what we call abide or dwell. Just dwell. Not just visit the sanctuary. You know, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I will abide in the house of the Lord forever. I won't just go visit. Okay? You know, so somebody should go, my God, I have to move in with Alan Lucy. I ain't talking. They're talking about running into this city of refuge. And, you know, we say, well, when's God going to show me this stuff? Great. You know, it's obvious. You need to be left in the streets for a while. You need to be an orphan, thrown into the streets, and have all the terrors all around you. And then you come back, and you are wide open to the truth. And I believe that there are people that have come here like that. I believe there are people yet to come here that have tried it. You know, Ricky said something like this the other day. He says, man, y'all pray for me. The devil's trying to get me out of here. If I get out of here, he's going to kill me. City of refuge. But it's not new creation, although new creation is a physical manifestation of the spiritual truth. It is. But it's the spiritual reality that if you leave here, you're unconnected. You don't have that connection with it. It's not us. It's not the place. And he says, all right, I understand that. If I get outside of Christ for a moment, who can answer the law? Who can answer the great finger of the law that has the demand? Who can meet those demands? God, this is killing me. This is shooting me in the head or whatever. I can't do it. I'm so happy. Isn't that what you have? Oops, they want to try. You know, and when he shows, that's why, you know, and I'm laying there, and he's in heaven. And he said, and he opens the door to the sanctuary to me and says, come in. I ran in. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. Because not because you're righteous, you run into it. But in there, he has made a new righteousness. And you go, this is my righteousness. You are my righteousness. You are my peace. You are my hope. And I am one with you. You said it. Of God are you in Christ. You said it. I didn't say it. I don't deserve it, man. I have to keep reminding you that you said it. Because I don't deserve it. I mean, it's just, you know, I'm mainly saying this for me. You said I'm in Christ. Of God are you in Christ. You put me in Christ. If I'm so evil and yucky and whatever, that's your fault and you're dumb and you should suffer for it, but you put me in Christ. He goes, I know. Because before I did it, I took you through the cross. And you're dead. You just hadn't realized it. You still act like the old nature, but you're dead. Christ is. You're not. The Word was. The earth was without.
I've wondered a number of times the statement that God needs to show you what you really are. Mm-hmm. And that never made any sense to me, because if God was showing us what we really are, that's what the Word is for. But what God is doing is showing us what we're identifying with. And he's not showing, and so when we really get a good vision of what we're identifying with, then we can start seeing what God wants us and desires us to be identified with.
Amen. Well, see, it's that Old Testament mentality. If you're not in Christ, then you feel guilty. You should feel guilty because you're guilty. But in Christ, Jesus paid it all. And because you won't accept it, you're guilty. I was witnessing somebody, and they said, well, you know, I don't think it's right that Jesus had to die for us. I mean, it's our fault. God should have killed him. God didn't kill him. He laid down his life. He did it willingly for you. If you don't accept it, you're just a big dummy here. You know? But you see what I mean? I mean, our minds are so weird. Well, I wouldn't wonder. I mean, that's what I'm taking advantage. No. It's like you're not taking advantage of what he freely gave you. You're making void the grace of God. He died for you. Now you're going to have to die for you. If he's going to give it to me, okay. You know? And then after a while, I mean, it is like, you know, it's like you have a, you grow up with a father that, you know, acts like he's going to give you something and he hits you. You know, you're sitting there laughing, and all of a sudden he hits you. But all the time you used to get hit all the time. So you meet God, and at first it's like he's offering you this, and you know you're not worthy. You don't have, you know, and you go, okay, I'll take it, you know. But you're kind of going like this, ready to be hit upside the head, and you receive it, and he doesn't hit you, and I understand. For a while, you do have to kind of. You're ready to be slapped down, folks, after a while. Good grief. But it shouldn't be 20 years later that you're still going, sooner or later you're going to go, you know, you've consistently been faithful and not hit me, you know. And maybe it's a good question like this. Why? Jesus died already for it all. I never going to hit you. He bore your stripes. And you go, then. But see, I mean, even just the consistency that they hadn't done it, sooner or later, you got to go wake up and go, dang, this is different. Not just keep on going forever. Well, I don't know, man. I'm full of fear. I think I'm supposed to stay full of fear. But you never know. I mean, I know it's been 20 years with you, Lord. But you'll probably turn on me in an instant. Give me the right opportunity. You just haven't had the right one yet. What I am and what you think I do, two different things. You your view of me angry. You spent 20 years dodging and holding yourself in just such a way that if the swing comes, you can run away and not get up. Spent all that time doing that when you should have been using all that energy of crouching and moving up slowly and all that, just to know what I was really like, and you'd have figured you'd save yourself a lot of time realizing you were never in the fear I told you from the very day you got saved on the first year when the first year comes forward to the front of the bridge. I told you my attitude is the way I am. You never believed. You always believed everything but me. And now you're wondering why you're all, you know, you lies messed up and haven't gotten as far as you wanted to get, blah, blah, blah. And he'll say something like, in the beginning was the Word, but you didn't make the Word your beginning. You made your past, and you drove Babylon in to Zion. Jeremiah told him to. You drove Babylon in to Zion. Drove what is no longer into what is, when that should have been a clean break. I'm dead. My old is gone. And the last vestiges of it will simply clear and fade away. As I proceed into the light of the new day, the new dawn. Burn your bridges. Burn your bridges. No more aces, no more plans, no more nothing. This is it. Okay, here I go. Your word is my beginning. No, your word is the beginning. It was the beginning before I was. I just identified with it. That makes it nice. So here I go. You said, come on. Here I come. Now, if God starts slapping you around, the only problem is, some of you have been listening to the devil so long, and the devil slaps you around and then says, I'm God. So, you know, what is God supposed to do? He sent His Word, He sent His Son, His Son died on the cross, He sent the Holy Spirit to teach us. I guess the devil's just smarter than God. The devil just must really be really bold. He is a creative being. He can be a creative being. He's a failure. He's originally an angel. He's a failure. He's a failure. Don't say that. He's a failure! Scared of the devil. Jesus is bigger than he is. My Father is bigger than he is. But I'm not scared of the devil. The devil is defeated. And if there's any area in my life or around me that he thinks he's getting away with something, Jesus Christ is Lord and will show himself strong. And I believe that. That's my faith stand. And I have not backed off on that ever. And I just got the opportunity over a few years to see it manifested over and over and over and over and over because I'm one with the Lord. I'm out of his rib. A man, the church, the bride, we came out of his side. Where do you think we came from? We're no longer some harlot off the street. He put him to death and then brought us out of that death. The bride is bone of his bone. It ain't the old bones that he breathed on and did something. The bride is something new. It was one with him. It ain't old, dirty, filthy, harlot material. That was, don't you understand, that's what the cross took, removed, and now all things are new, and he was wounded for us, and the bride was taken out of him, and we were created from his substance. We are one with him. We are the bride. The bride is one with him. Because he's the one from which we are. But we're still in the old, on the other side of the cross, still trying to get God to help us and bless us and get us closer to Him and just teach me enough so I can act right or something. I don't know. You know what I mean? Let me tell you. I know what has to take place. Lazarus is in that tomb. He died. He died. He died. In fact, he died. He died. And Jesus, just to make sure that he'd get the point, left him in there for 3 days until he stunk. He was decaying. You know, so that, you know, people would go, well, he really just kind of fell asleep for a little while. He had sleep in his hours. He's not awake. But instead, he said, Lazarus, come forth. At his word, he came forth. But Lazarus came forth like this. Did you know that? Why did he come forth like that? Why did he come forth going, yeah, baby! Why did he go like this? Why? The Bible says it's still that they wrapped him in grave clothes. And you know what? Jesus didn't just say, Lazarus, come forth. You know what he said next? He said, somebody take him to grave clothes. Jesus didn't take his grave clothes. And it's kind of interesting that Lazarus didn't take off either. Somebody else started speaking the words, started sharing, started ministering, started saying, look, this is the old. You know, well, I'm not a minister. I'm not a teacher. I don't know what. You know, learn the word and just speak the word. Just be a son of God. Everybody here, just be a son of God. Just be a son of God. Don't be a minister. Don't be a missionary. Don't strive to be anything but a son of God. Don't take a lower seat by trying to be something else. Be a son of God. And a son of God will speak for his father, will speak for his father's kingdom. You know, God had a kingdom. He set people in charge of it. They were people. They weren't his son. So what are they going to do? The fruit starts coming forth. It's your father's vineyard. The fruit starts coming forth. And so they pretty soon start getting all the benefits of it. You know, we're getting the fruit of this whole thing. But they're not changed because they're not sons. So they begin to go, well, this is our vineyard. And we ain't going to send any more of this fruit back to the Father. Give him the glory. Send him, give him the honor, do him. We're going to keep this for ourselves. So he sent a servant. That servant says, go to the other, killed him or beat him up. Send him away, send another servant. So finally, the Father sent a son. Because the son is going to go, look, I speak on behalf of my Father. What you see is the emanation of the Father. It's not just a messenger. It's not just a, I am the express image of the Father. I am his son. He didn't go, I have a badge here. I've got authority because I'm in authority. You know, this is the truth. And I believe, you know, you know that I believe in spiritual authority and all that stuff. I do. I believe in that. But I tell you what, you ain't never going to manifest proper authority until you're a son of God. You know? That's right. You will abuse that authority. Those servants abused their authority, took over the vineyard, and began to say the fruit is ours. The son came. And he said, look, man, all this belongs to the Father. What do you think he's going to say? He's going to talk to the Father. He's going to say it's of another kingdom. I'm here on his behalf. You know? And when you begin to speak as one that has been with the Father, one that views things from the Father's viewpoint. You know, well, it is the rules around here that we pick up the trash. Oh, great. Well, let's just make everybody just hire them. You know, it's the rules here that we, okay, well, good. Thank God we, you know, it's good to have rules. But the truth is, I'd rather not have any rules in any place. I'd just rather have some. That's what I want. I don't, you know. I mean, I just want to trust in God. Because the Son of God will do what he does for the glory of the Father if somebody's watching or not watching. A son of God will minister to a person and start getting their grave clothes off of them because it's the Spirit of Christ to do that. You know? A son of God will always have the right spirit, will always, because he's not doing it for himself. There's not a motivation, well, I think I'll come down here and become king of kings and lord of lords. The Bible says, Jesus. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, who became a servant, became in the likeness of man, came down here, put on flesh. This is the eternal Son of God. I'm the one who never knew weakness or hurt or anything. Come down here, not only came down here, but became a servant, began to serve everybody. But that was the spirit that was in him, his nature. Served the blessed to minister and everything because he's the Son of God. And lifted up the Father. Father, I have accomplished what you sent me to do. I've glorified your name. That's my greatest joy. I've lifted you up. I've finished the ministry. Then became obedient unto death. And then it says, for this cause, God the Father hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that in the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, whether things in heaven or earth or under the earth, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Okay. Jesus didn't come down here to do this right and to serve a little bit so that he could get a little recognition so he could be exalted. You know what I mean? Do you understand what I mean? He's not counting on me. Okay, now. Well, okay. If down is up, then I'll be down for a long, long time. You know, if serving will get me recognized, you know, can you be a good leader till you serve? Well, I'll serve for a while. You will serve forever. You will be a servant. He's the kingdom. Is the king. He's the greatest in the kingdom. Servant of all. A-L-L. I want to be great. Good. Serve everybody. Everybody. Just serve them. Just keep there. Find out the need. Minister. What is it you need? Oh, I want to be a great one. But you don't want to be what you want to be. No. Because his spirit is other than us. And so, but we're, you know, figuring, we're, you know, well, now we've got, we need these rules, you need to follow this rule, and everything. But I'm saying, it ain't, you know, if everybody had kept all the rules, you ain't what God wants. As a leader here, the goal is not just to keep people in rules, the goal is to teach them Christ. Now, here's the deal. You know, the reason why we do this isn't just because it's a rule that Randy said 3 years ago, and bless God, we're going to do it because Randy's the authority, and we obey, and we believe in spiritual authority. No, okay, there's a spiritual reason behind everything that we do. There is a reason. You know, somebody says, well, bless God, why do the girls have a shower schedule, and the guys have a shower schedule, and when I want a shower, it's during the girls' shower schedule, I can't get a shower. Why is the deal? You don't say, well, bless God, that's the way the rules are set up. You need to go with it. No. You can walk if you want. You walk. But you say, look, let me tell you, everything is designed that we can serve one another. This is an opportunity to lay down our life and to put others first, that Christ may be glorified in all things. This is not, no, you know, if this freaks you out and puts this on you, really just blows you away and makes you leave God, you know, and offends you to a degree that you'll leave here when you need this place, then guess what? Get in there and get you a shower, baby. If that'll hold you a little longer till we pump the word in you, then the schedule can go to hell. Get in there. Hello? But then when you look and the majority are wanting to bend the rules, but they're on themselves and life in the cold and take a few disciples of God and go home. And sit down and start to stretch. Right. You test the one. You test the little litmus test. It's mostly flesh and this thing, you know, that the whole thing, you go, we missed the point here. Let's start over. Let's see if we can get it right this time. Okay, now the goal is Christ. Christ is the fulfillment of everything. It has nothing to do with buildings and rules and places or whatever. See what I'm saying? Christ, in the beginning, was the Word. The Word was that's our goal. Get in and the living Word begin to live through us. And we not be us. demonstrations of Christ. Jesus said, Jesus was the express image of the Father. I came to glorify the Father. I do not speak of myself. And he says, I am your example. Okay, what that means is we come, we glorify Jesus, because the head of every man is Jesus, the head of Jesus is the Father. He glorified the Father, but he's our head, we glorify him. I don't do my own works. Don't do that. I won't do that. See, I keep control of my life. Say, well, it's a good thing you stopped yourself from doing that sin. Oh my God, we should be able to do all kinds of stuff without Jesus. And it's not even we'll get to sin. We need to get a hold of ourselves and go, I need to know Jesus. You say, well, okay, don't do nothing, just sit here and be a bump on the wall of Jesus. No, get out and know Jesus. Lock yourself away, man. I mean, I remember I'd hear the word go forth like that, and I'd go, my God, I ain't got any business. Right now, I just need to soak in the word. Thank God I wasn't far enough in the ministry where if I dropped out, I'd knock everything in turmoil. I was just a little nobody in the Bible. It wasn't a situation where I just dropped out and then threw everything in a mess because everybody was dependent on everybody. And it was early enough where I got in there and said, man, I need the Lord. So everybody would leave the classroom and I would sit there and just search the scriptures and cry and cry. And then I'd just cry. I went, boy, I don't know you. I'm under conviction. I need you desperately. You know, I didn't let the moment pass because you walk out of here and you get to talking and stuff like that. And, I didn't take it lightly. Well, that would be my condition. Thank God we got Randy and we know he's going to be preaching this way, so it's going to affect me. It's probably going to really get to me eventually. And I said, no, I will not. I just stay that. I didn't want to move. The Spirit of God was on me. The Spirit of God was giving me. And I said, I need to stay under this. It almost felt like a covering of a sheet over me, where I was with the Lord at that moment. And I didn't want to lie. He thought, oh, God, let's go. Hey, what's going on with you? I just pulled it over me. And, people come out and go, I'm really I just go to the Lord. I think you would do anything. Would you just pray for me right now? You pray for me. That's why I just spent some time with the Lord. And I just said, I don't want to lose this, man. I don't feel this way all the time. In fact, it seems to be, a lot where I'm just, it's just me, and then all of a sudden I have this desire from the Word, the sharing of the Word or something that's really affecting me. And I don't want to just take this lightly. I want to grasp it. I want to be in the Word now because, and I didn't begin to see who was there at those times. And if I didn't see them, my prayers were better. Said what I really felt deep in my heart, because after I walk out and I get to talk to everybody, do all my things and go on there, then I said, well, I've got to pray. And, I haven't really prayed in a couple of weeks. I guess I've got to pray. And I'm not in tune with the Lord. I'm not under that covering. I'm not dealt with. And so I go, oh, Lord, let's see. We got that outreach coming up. Lord, Jesus, bless that thing. And I remember so-and-so reaching the church. There's not that what's really in your heart. And so you don't feel fulfilled when you pray. But when you're there under that covering, under that dealing, you say, or even if you can't say it, you just start praying, sometimes you don't get said. Oh, Lord, I don't know you. I need you so bad. I need you to reveal your son in me. I am desperate. I am not what I think I am. I am not big. I am not smart. I am not wise. I need you. You know what it meant? David humbled himself. He was alone. But David just came back. Christianity is about trying to get this feeling every so often and then walking off from it. That's Christianity. What we want to do is extend the length of time we have that feeling. But we don't do anything when that is more feeling. We don't do anything with it when we have it. See what I'm saying? I mean, we have it. And then we break it. Does anybody agree with me? I mean, I really think if we break it, God, I don't think God just kind of lives. Now, what will happen is, and this happened to me, I sat there 5 minutes in the presence of the Lord, and then all of a sudden the Lord kind of said, I squeezed what I needed to do out of it. And it was just 5 minutes. You know, I thought it could have been 2 hours or whatever. I mean, I didn't know. It was just 5 minutes. But there was a sense of, okay, you know, it's like, it wasn't like just like, it's all over with as much as I read the word, I've come to a certain juncture, and it's time to get it. And then I've had a few times when I'm sitting there and I want the Lord so bad. And the Lord shows me the key down inside the door. They're carrying something out the back door. And I say, I don't want to be, I don't want this broken, I don't want to be so bad, or I don't want this broken. But if I get out there and help them, then I'm going to get all that done. And I say, but I want your life. And it's not just moving with your feet, it's moving with your spirit. And I have been, you know, I'm afraid of my life. My life is what really wants you. Who doesn't have a really like that impression? I don't know. This is tough. This is the most precious. But I'm there, I'm not. You get up, the preaching is good, everybody talks, and somebody cusses or starts a joke or whatever, and it gets, you know, dude, it's broken. But it wasn't broken because you got up and walked off the questions and I want to do my thing. It was broken because you made that in life with somebody else. Yeah, do you understand that? And it really is. And you know what? I believe it. I believe God sees that. And I believe God says, that's my son. That's my son. And you don't have to worry about his son because I'm going to see to it that when you do get into the Word, it's going to be for you. You're going to know my son. You're going to know the Christ that's within you that you're trying your best to go with. And I'm going to, you are so precious to me. And if you're laying down your life and you go through a season where you're just, all you can think of is, I want to be with the Lord, but these needs keep arising, and you keep laying down your life. When you, if you get 5 minutes in the Word, I will so feed you, God done that. Where I just did, you know. And then there comes a time when you say, okay, that's enough. Now I want you to go and get into the Word. And you do that. And then sometimes it is, I want you in the Word now. It's not our little tricks playing self-justification, whatever. It's here with God. I want you in the Word. I don't want you to go over there and help. And it kills you because you want to get up and go over there and help. You're not just going, oh, praise God. No, I'm with the Lord self-justifying all this junk. It's killing you, see, you know. It's killing you to not get up and go, you know, Lord, this is hard because you put your spirit in me and your spirit wants to serve and to bless me. He says, I really want you to fellowship with me. Some people say, Randy, why do you run all the time on Mondays? I'm going to keep my appointment with God. He's more important than anybody else I meet with. I've just got an appointment. And so I keep my appointment with the Lord. That's all it is. You know, I very seldom break my appointments with God. Keep them. Well, there's tragic things going on. Why God's out there, and that's why there's a body and everything. How can you lay there? There have been cases where I felt, man, I need to get up and go because to serve and whatever. And the Lord says, no. Right now, you need to spend time with me. There's never a justification. He says, man, it's never those little tricks we play to, you know, to get out of something. Or to boot spiritual, or to, you know, to justify it. Whether they think I'm not spiritual because I'm not coming to help, I know that I don't spend your time with God. No. See, God, yeah, you spend time with God, unless you're God. You know, Jesus said this parable. Pharisee and the publican went in to pray. The sinner fell down and said, oh, God, I'm not even worthy to be prayer. And he says, and the Pharisee, prayed thus to himself. Oh God. He wasn't praying to God. He prayed thus with himself.